Praise the Lord. Well, we're getting closer and closer to the new year. And the body of Christ is slipping closer and closer into darkness. A lot of people are just not doing what God's telling them to do. But I know all you are doing everything God's telling you to do, 100%. Now, I'm really serious. The body of Christ still is not lining up with what God wants. And the body of Christ is still not taking serious enough what God has been telling us. He's been trying to lead us into the light, total light, so that we don't go into 2021 with darkness at all. I'm hoping and I'm believing that each one of you sitting in here tonight, that you've been evaluating your walk with God and you've been allowing God to change what he needs to change. God is saying he doesn't want you to dismiss anything in your life. In other words, if you know there's something you're doing you shouldn't be doing, don't slough it off. But take it to God very seriously and allow him to change you in that area. I want to go into 2021, you know, full of the miracles. I'm tired of seeing people sick and destitute, you know, and so lost. And we really need to be vessels of honor, that when we are an example of what Jesus is all about. Doesn't it make you cry when you see somebody who professes to be a child of God act like the world? Then they say, you want to go to church with me? No, don't think so. It's time we quit that. You know, the body of Christ as a whole, it's time we quit that, and it's time that we become just like Jesus and be a witness for Jesus instead of slapping him in the face all the time. Right? I'm letting you think about this tonight because God really wants to bless us abundantly in the new year. And I don't want the body of Christ to go into the new year with the same attitude, same old, same old. But go into 2021 totally ready to be a vessel of honor to be used by God. And Father, I thank you for the ones who came out tonight. I thank you that your anointing is in the house, that your Holy Spirit is on the move, and that you are doing a perfect works within each one of us. Tonight, Father God, we don't want you to allow anything to slide in our life. We want you to bring it to our attention so that you can remove it and set us free. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We've entitled this, Don't Poison Your Joy. And I'm sorry, but I'm guilty of some of this stuff. So you can relax and say, oh, well, she's guilty, so it's all right if I'm guilty. But we're not going to stay guilty, right? We're going to change. The born-again child of God has joy resident in his spirit. It is possible, however, to poison that joy. 1 Peter 3:10 says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Right there is where we have to get it together tonight. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. This scripture tells us that if we want to enjoy our lives, which is possible, even if there is no apparent reason to enjoy it, then we must keep our tongues free from evil. Is that in your spirit? You know your tongue's been bad lately, don't you? I believe the instruction is a personal one. You keep your tongue free from evil. I can come cut your tongue out, but that's the only way I can control your tongue, right? So each one of us has to work at keeping our tongue free from evil. I think the Bible is telling us that if we keep our mouths positive during difficulties, we can drink joy from the fountain of our own lips. even though it may look to everyone else like our circumstances should make us miserable. Let's read that again. I think the Bible is telling us that if we keep our mouths positive during difficulties, we can drink joy from our own lips, even though it may look to everyone else like our circumstance should make us miserable. The fountain of blessings and curses, and let's read James 3, 8 through 11. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? We can bless ourselves or curse ourselves by the way we speak. We can bless ourselves or we can curse ourselves by the way we speak. When we bless, we speak well of. When we curse, we speak evil of. You and I can bless our own lives and bring joy to them, or we can curse them and bring misery upon ourselves by the words of our mouth. We're talking about doing what you're doing to your own self, not to someone else, but to your own self. We should be much more concerned about what comes out of our mouths about ourselves than we are about what others are saying about us. We should be much more concerned about what comes out of our own mouths about ourselves than we are about what others are saying about us. There is a well of good things inside of us, one of them being joy. We can pull it up and splash it all over ourselves through proper speaking. In James 3:6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. I'm teaching this because I really had to get hold of my tongue this week, all right? And I'm hoping that y'all will just really check yourself out and see what you're doing with your tongue. And I was cursing my own self. The Bible tells us the human tongue can be tamed by no man. There you go. Well, God, if you don't tame my tongue, then I guess it's never going to be tamed, liar. If you really say, God, please tame my tongue, he will. All right. The Bible tells us the human tongue can be tamed by no man. We will need God's help and plenty of it to keep the tongue under control. It is amazing to stop and realize all the trouble that one tiny member of the body has created in each of our lives. Number one, the tongue can ruin a relationship. Number two, it can usher in depression. Number three, it can wound a friend or through rudeness hurt someone we barely know. James 3:8 says, but no man can tame the tongue, and it is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So if this is true, consider these scriptures in Proverbs 26:22. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down to the inmost body. In Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Both of these scriptures partially express the message that we need to hear this evening. Words can help us or hurt us, as well as the other people we are involved with. The tongue in trials in Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. You hearing this? When we are having a hard time, which is tribulation, what does a tongue like to do? It likes to talk about it. Blame it on somebody. It likes to complain. But more than anything, it just likes to talk about the problem, which usually doesn't do anyone any good. Life. That's true life. That, and this is the way the body of Christ still is. And if we are going to go forth and do the great miracles that God wants us to do, then we're going to have to tame our tongue through Christ. God, tie a knot in my tongue. The other day I said, God, cleave my tongue to the roof of my mouth and don't let me speak. Yeah, really, I'm really working on taming my tongue and not cursing myself or anybody else. Temptations that come during trials and tribulations are designed to drag you away from God. Temptations that come during trials and tribulations are designed to drag you away from God. We need to talk about God, not the problem. And you will be strengthened instead of weakened. You need to talk about God and not the problem, and you will be strengthened instead of weakened. Tribulation is a part of life, guys. When you own a car, you will occasionally need to replace some of its parts. When you own a home, you will probably need to paint it sometime or have some other repair work done. Right? These things are just part of life. We live in the world. The devil's in the world. Part of what he does is bring tribulation. He hopes tribulation will irritate us and steal our peace and joy. Isn't that what it does? Then when he steals your peace and your joy, all you talk about is your problem. Then you say, you throw out your God is able, though. Then you keep talking about the problem. Well, God said, and then you talk about the problem. We need to quit talking about we need to quit talking about the problem. Satan does not want us to enjoy God or the life he has provided for us. Isn't that the truth? We make a big deal out of our tribulations and are often guilty of making mountains out of molehills. God is greater than our problems. Get that in your spirit. God is greater than your problem. If we have a weakness in this area, we will have to grow or we will never consistently enjoy life. God wants to give us peace in the midst of the storm while he is driving the clouds away and ushering in the sunshine. God wants to give us peace in the midst of the storm while he is driving the clouds away and ushering in the sunshine. And I can guarantee you that as you try to tame your tongue, that the devil's going to use the person that's causing you to do what you do, to really act up, and you're going to slip up, and then you're going to have to repent, go to your little repent closet, and start all over again. We need to work on this so that we can go forth and do what God's calling us forth to do. The Bible encourages us to give a good report in Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. Well, some people say, well, that is true, what I'm saying, right? Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So in my house the other day, we had a big discussion about you need to quit looking at the other person's flaws and look at your own. If you need to talk about something, talk about yourself and ask God to help you. Leave the other person alone. Let God change them. Right. Instead of looking at all their faults, let's look at the good side of them. Everybody has good parts of themselves. We're not all bad. There is good in us. We all know the story in Numbers 13. 12 spies were sent into the promised land to spy it out. 10 came back with an evil report. They told of the giants in the land. There were good things to report on, but they centered on the giants. Have you ever seen anybody? A person can be just a perfect person, but they have one flaw. And boy, somebody will just dig and dig and dig and dig and dig at that one flaw they have, forgetting all the good they have in them. Every one of us are guilty of that. And we need to stop. I was trying to get my family to see this yesterday. And they said, well, they do this, this, and this, and this. I said, but they also do this, this, and this, and this, which is good. And I said, How perfect are you? You want me to start pointing out your flaws? See, I'm trying to get them to start thinking positive instead of negative. And I said, well, you're saying this person does this, 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 and this, but you know what? You do this, 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 and this also, the very same things that they were talking about the other person. Of course, they get upset with me and leave the room. But still, and all, a seed was planted. And I hope they think about this, what was said, all right? God wants you and I to give a good report, talk about the positive things in life. The more we talk about good things, the more uplifted we will feel. You know, have you ever, you know, had a person you're really irritated with? And as long as you dwell on their bad points, you get angry and irritated. But if you start thinking about the good things they do, you feel love bubbling up inside for that person. And you want to help them. You want to love on them. Because God's positive attitude is what brings Jesus out into the open in our lives. But as long as we're going to dwell on the bad things, we're never going to make it. If we choose to talk of negative things, we will feel heavy and drained. Isn't that how you feel? Have you ever been around somebody and all they do is talk about negative things? You say, oh, geez, I've got to go through this again. Because it drags you down, doesn't it? Come on. The words that go out of our mouths run alongside our faces and fall back down into our own ears. You know, they come out, go up, come right down into our own ears, as well as into other people's. Giving an evil report, gossiping, slandering, complaining, backbiting, all of these things make us unhappy. Many people don't realize this fact, and others probably would not want to believe it, but it's true. Negative words will make you unhappy. I hope they do anyhow. I hope you're not so hard in your heart that negative words make you feel good. Amen. Many people don't realize this fact, and others probably would not want to believe it, but it's true. Somebody needs to get her a bottle of water. Not wine, but water. Sometimes people literally get addicted to evil speaking. I believe we all know people like that, don't we? They get addicted. No good word comes out of their mouth at all. They have to speak evil. We learn in Proverbs 8:13, God hates perverted and twisted speech. I believe that at one time, every believer in the body of Christ has been negative. I don't only believe that at one time, I think many times. Because we're being honest, right? We're being open and forthright because we want God to hear what we're saying and we want God to clean us up. Because we want to be vessels of honor. I don't want to be a hypocrite in the house of God. I don't want to be a religious person that speaks one thing and acts another way. We have to get this together. And I would like for us to get it together before we go into a new year so that we aren't cursed with all this negative stuff in the new year for another year. What did God say? Whatever we carry in the new year, we're going to have all year long. I believe that at one time, but God wants us to become positive and not negative. You know, if you keep looking at your husband or your wife, I'll just say your spouse, and all you see is a negative part of them, you're never going to have a happy marriage. Never. Because you're never going to see the good side of them. Don't wait until they die or leave you to start concentrating on the good things that they had about them. Do it now. This is what God's trying to do with families. He's trying to pull families together, you know, marriages. You need to start quit looking at their flaws and start looking at the positive things. Well, they don't have anything positive. Well, you know what? You're the ones in trouble because you can't see positive. Everybody has positive in them. They really do. Everybody. I don't care who you are. All right. I really believe that if we will be submissive to the Holy Spirit. No, I didn't. Once you see the devastation of negativism and other forms of evil speaking, you will hate them. I mean, this is what I've been checking myself out in this. And I do hate the things I've said or the things I thought and then let come out of my lips. You know, I don't like that because none of that is God. I really believe that if we will be submissive to the Holy Spirit, He will prompt us to say the right things. Or if you say, God, every Holy Spirit, every time I'm going to speak negative, zip my lips. You'll find yourself really not being able to bring the words forth that you want to say. I wanted to say something when I first came up here, and God's not letting me say it. He doesn't want me to say it tonight. See, if you're really walking in the Spirit, living with the Holy Spirit, and ask God to have control of your tongue, He'll do that. All right? The Holy Spirit will also convict us when we are talking wrong. But we have to choose to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you say, Holy Spirit. I'm just going to say it. I know a lot of people like that. The Holy Spirit is sent to keep us on the narrow path that leads the way to life. What do we have, a coughing spirit going on here? Let's get some bottles of water going here. One person coughs, next person cough. The air is dry is what it is, really. We have to get a dehumidifier, I guess, right, going, because the air is dry in here. All right, who's doing this coughing? Raise your hand and get a bottle. Jade. Well, then drink it. Here, Astrid wants a bottle. Now we got a bottle of water going here. You're saying, I'm not going to cough. I'm not going to cough. Next thing you know, you're choking yourself, right? You've done that, haven't you? I'm just not going to cough right now. I don't want to disturb anybody. All right. The Holy Spirit is sent to keep us on a narrow path that leads the way to life. Agree with God and not with your trials. Agree with God and not with your trials. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? You can't walk with God if you're not going to agree with Him. God has a good plan for our lives, and we need to bring our mouth into agreement with Him. Are you listening here? If we go around saying things like, nothing good ever happens to me, all I ever have is trouble, we can expect that trouble to multiply in our lives. I've heard somebody say for 2 weeks, nobody ever cares about what happens to me. I think, oh God, here we go again. So nobody's going to care what's going to happen to them, because that's what they're speaking that forth, right? I do and I do and I do, but nobody does for me. Well, you know, you're getting exactly what you're speaking. Then I said, well, why are you doing this stuff? Are you doing this stuff because you really want to, or are you doing it so you get praised for it? You know, if you're doing something and want somebody else to do back to you, then you're not doing it for the right reason. Words are seeds. What we speak, we sow, and what we sow, we reap. Begin to say, I have a future, and there is hope for me. God is on my side. No matter how many disappointments I have had in the past, this is a new day. Goodness and mercy are following me today. Talking like this will help you enjoy the journey. However long you have to wait for your breakthrough, you may as well make it as enjoyable as possible. Come on. You got to put up with me, Aaron, until the rapture occurs, so just enjoy the ride. You married people, we made a covenant with God, so let's enjoy each other. Because we're in it for the long haul. And don't smack them either, as you're saying it. Come on. Sometimes we are waiting for God or others to do for us what God has given us the ability and responsibility to do for ourselves. We can increase our joy through the simple principle of right speaking. Sometimes what we say about our problems is a bigger problem than the problem. Sometimes what we say about our problems is a bigger problem than the problem. When we continually think and speak about our problems, we are making mental and verbal lists that we cannot get away from. When we continually think and speak about our problems, we are making mental and verbal lists that we cannot get away from. Truth. They become prevalent in our souls. Our souls get full of the problem. God never intended our problems to get in us. They may be all around us, but they were never intended to be in us. If we keep our souls full of Him and His Word, joy remains. Isn't this a good teaching? See, this is my teaching to me, so you're just here to listen. All right? But we can poison our joy easily and quickly by not adhering to God's principles. Keep yourself happy by being careful about what comes out of your mouth. Number one, have you complained today? That will decrease your joy quickly. I'm hearing people say, I repent, I repent, I repent. Come on. Some people are chronically critical. Number two, have you said negative and judgmental things about someone else? That will certainly poison your joy. I have said that this week. And when I did it, I knew that was not of God, and I had to repent and get it right. See, I agreed with somebody else. That's the same thing as saying it. Number three, unkind comments about other people cause us much more trouble than we know. Number four, God does not want bitter water coming out of the fountain one time and sweet water the next time. I can't get up here and preach if I'm at home criticizing people all day. That's bitter coming out and sweet coming out, and that's not God. You're at home complaining about somebody, then you come in the house, God, let me lay hands on you and let God heal you. What's He going to heal you of? Because your hands are defiled. So it said God does not want bitter water coming out of the fountain one time and sweet water the next time. Number five, God does not want us to praise Him and curse those made in His image. My. We're going to have to get this right, or we won't flow in the anointing. Could that be why we don't have a new building? Could that be why the miracles are not happening? These questions need to ask yourself. Am I part of the problem? Is my tongue cursing the church? Well, I just don't like Nancy, period. You're cursing a child of God, and so you're cursing the church. Did you see what she did there today? Did you see how he got all puffed up with pride? This is cursing the church. This is cursing the people you're sitting beside. And then, God, send down your glory. It'll zap you and kill you. Come on, I want you to really think. And I want you to really get serious. Because I really do want the Lighthouse Church to go into 2021 full of the glory of God. Emptied out of all the negative things that we've been doing and have nothing but positive water flowing out of us. It is not going to be easy because it's something you're used to. It's something you're going to have to work at. Right? Everything that God, whenever God says change, everything He's wanted to change in us was hard. It did not happen in a blink of an eye. It was hard, but God got us through it, and He changed us. Keeping quiet about what we think we observe as faults in other people shows humility. In Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Read that scripture again. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Perhaps another person does not have the same grace gifts that you or I do. We cannot criticize others for not having something which God did not choose to bestow upon them. Judgment comes from looking at ourselves, especially our gifts and talents, and deciding that anyone who does not do things the way we do them, has a fault. Wow. They should prophesy differently. They should lay hands on people differently. After all, God's anointed me and I do it right, so why can't they get it right? You see what I'm saying? We're all different. Isn't that what we learned through the word? We're all different and we're all unique. God uses our personalities. So let God use each person the way he so desires to use them. And quit complaining about the way they do things. Judgment comes from looking at I said that, didn't I? To have these kinds of things in our heart and then in our mouth is to poison our joy level. Remember Proverbs 18:20 told us, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who indulge in it shall eat the fruit thereof. Therefore, keep your words sweet so that their fruit is sweet. The Bible is full of scriptures about joy, rejoicing, gladness, and singing. And one of my favorites is Psalm 101:2, which is a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Serving the Lord with gladness is a good goal for all of us. I'm going to tell him myself, sometimes you all play the tambourines, it's rattle, rattle, rattle. And I was sitting there this morning and I said, oh dear. God said, can you play a tambourine? And I said, no. He said, then quit complaining. Even if I did and I perfected it, I shouldn't complain about anybody else's rattle, right? After all, they're shaking a tambourine anyhow. They're not dead. They're alive. See, you all do the same things. Maybe about different things, but you all do the same thing. Come on, let's get real. I lost my place. I guess I should. Often we think we must do something great and we forget the simple things that obviously bless the Lord. It means a great deal to God that his children serve him with gladness. So many people are headed somewhere, but how many are enjoying the trip? Then we have the postal service, okay? When I went home today, the post lady was at my mailbox, putting stuff in my mailbox. So I sat there patiently waiting for her to move on so I could get into my mailbox. And then finally I turned my turn signal on to let her know that I wasn't going to go to the right. I mean, left. I was going to stay there at the right. So she stuck her head out and said, would you please move? She wanted to back up and give the people a package right where I was parked. But I said to myself, now that was rude. But it wasn't really rude. She was a mail lady. I had no right to stop her job. I should have moved up my lane and then come back down, right? So I picked it up when I come to church. But see, just my thought life to her wasn't right. She was doing her job. She had a little yellow bandana around her head. But we all do these kind of things, and that's not godly. I should just went up my lane and just got my mail later and not made a to-do about it in my mind. I didn't say it out loud, but in my mind I was thinking. See, a lot of you think in your mind too, but that's the same as saying it out loud because God knows your thoughts. Well, nobody heard me say it. No, but God heard you think it. Right? Come on. So I said, so many people are headed somewhere, but how many are enjoying the trip? It would be a great tragedy to arrive and realize that the journey had not been enjoyed completely. And, you know, I'm realizing that I'm not enjoying my trip right now like I ought. Because negative things, enter into my mind and I have to get them out. How many of you are really enjoying your trip with God? And how many of you, one day you're up and one day you're down with your trip. God wants us on an even keel. We need to be happy with our journey with God all the time. Just not when things are going right, but all the time. I come in here tonight feeling, I don't know why, but I got disgruntled on a walk through the door. And it wasn't because of my kids. And I sat back there and prayed, God, you got to take this way. I prayed through praise and worship to take away and it finally left. But see, I wasn't enjoying my trip right then. But I don't know why I was doing that. So when you're not enjoying your trip, just ask God to take it away. Say, God, I don't know where this is coming from. This is not the way I want to have my trip with you. I want to enjoy myself with you. Now we know that it's not going to be always happy, happy, happy. Now, I hope you understand that with your walk with God. Trials and tribulations are going to come our way all the time, according to the Word. But as you look at the disciples and how they were treated, they enjoyed their trip with God. Even though they went through all the things they went through, they enjoyed themselves. They encouraged others to enjoy themselves. They didn't go around speaking negative, but they encouraged their fellow brothers and sisters to enjoy themselves. And that's what we need to do in the body of Christ. The world's not going to try to get you to enjoy your walk with God. The world is going to try to take you away from God. So we who professed to be children of God and love one another, we need to start encouraging one another. If God lays it upon your heart that somebody's just not quite right that day, send them a little email or send them a little prayer. Do something, you know, to heaven. Do something to try to pull that person up out of the molly grubs that they're in. Amen. You don't pick up the phone and say, hey, God, you showed me Pastor Barbara's having a bad day. You don't do that. You say, God, whatever's going on in her life, I just give it to you and you cover her. You see what I'm saying? Or somebody say, aha, I knew she was going to have a bad day. That's what goes on in the body of Christ. They deserve what they're getting. This is what people say. This is not godly, and we need to stop it. All right, Acts 20, chapter 20, verse 24 says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with what? Joy. In the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, none of these things move me. Boy, some of you move so far away, you have to get your GPS working to get you back to where you should be. Because of something that comes into your life, right? Guilty. Come on. You know, you need to learn to laugh at yourself. You really do. You need to learn to sit, when you realize you've done something really stupid, you need to learn to sit down and say, how could you be so dumb? You know, talk to yourself and laugh at yourself, you know, and get yourself back where you should be with God. I'm sorry, but none of us are perfected yet. We're not. And we're all guilty of not being able to control our tongues. How many times did you lash out at your wife or your kids? Or your mom, you know, whatever. It's because you don't have control of your tongue. Let's agree with Apostle Paul. We want to finish our course with joy. That's an awesome goal, right? To serve the Lord with gladness and to complete our course with joy. Let's agree with Apostle Paul. We want to finish our course with joy. What an awesome goal, to serve the Lord with gladness and to complete our course with joy. Number one, whatever you are called to do, wherever you are called to go, enjoy the journey. Don't waste one more day of the precious life God has given you. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Now, this message was all brought about because I was having a terrible time with my tongue. And I've taught over the years so many times about taming your tongue, and yet I was having a hard time with it. And then God just started speaking to me about it. He said to me, you are poisoning your own joy. And see, I was asking God, why don't the body of Christ retain the joy of the Lord? And then he told me that we poison our own joy with the negative things that we speak. So let's quit speaking negative. Wow, you just don't know what I go through. Wow, God says love the unlovable. Right? I hope and I pray that every one of us, including me in this room, take this very serious tonight. So that when we go into the new year, we go in there with joy that is not poisoned because we don't know how to tame our tongue. All right? God said to me right now, he wants to remove and empty out every negative thing that's in your mind tonight. And he's saying he will restore your mind to wholeness tonight, and then you're going to have to keep it whole. And the way you're going to keep it whole is by watching what you speak and think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Isn't that what the word says? You guys, you need to understand you are a beautiful group of people. And this is why the enemy has been attacking you over and over and over again. He knows what you're going to do to his kingdom. But he's working really hard to see that you don't do any harm to his kingdom. So what we need to do is to understand we are God's chosen children. And that God has been kind to us. He has spread grace over us more times than really we deserve. And he has been with us through thick and thin. And he's with us right now. And he wants to use you guys to perform signs, wonders, and miracles through. Now God said, I'm just going to take a little handful of people and I'm going to turn the world upside down. Don't you desire to be one of those handful? You know, just one of those people in that handful. God has very big hands, you know. But the only way we can do that is we start taming our tongue. All right? We all have problems in our life. You're not going to ever escape that, because that is life. See, I thought once you was born again, you didn't have no problems. But I found out once I became born again, I had problems I never had before. I just never had problems, but I all of a sudden knew what a problem was. So we know we're going to have problems. We know we're going to have trials and tribulations. We know the enemy's mad at us. But why do we care? Why do we really care about all that? All we need to be concerned about is God is on the throne. He can have my tongue. I'd rather not speak than speak poison into my joy. You need to get off your cell phones, Twitter, whatever you do. You need to quit spreading all that negative stuff around and just enjoy your trip with God. So the altar's open, and what's it for, Brother Allen? I knew he was going to remember that because he took that really deep down into his spirit. God wants to cleanse your mind. And then he said, you have to keep it cleansed after tonight. And you keep it cleansed by watching what you say. So the altar's open.